Today on The Commons, I have a guest named Erica, who is a peer resource navigator with Portland Street Medicine, and she also volunteers to do outreach with Portland People's Outreach Project, otherwise known as PPOP. And it is important to note here that Erica is not a spokesperson for either PPOP or Portland Street Medicine, and is speaking based on her own experience working in these communities and being a part of them.
My name's Erica Helmrichs. I use she, her pronouns, and I would categorize my involvement in harm reduction as harm reduction advocate, patient advocate, peer support specialist by certification, I guess. I got involved with harm reduction work, I would say, during the time where I was using myself. When I moved to Portland 15 years ago, I was a heroin user, and I seem to see a lot of injustices in how people who use drugs were treated, or how I felt I was able to access resources. And I'm kind of bossy just by nature, so I found myself speaking up for what I believed I needed for myself and what I thought other people needed too. And a couple years later, I got into a methadone maintenance program, and it's sort of the same thing. I saw a lot of problems within the clinic structure, and I began a patient advocacy group. We met twice a month. So what would happen is we'd have patients attend the group. I would sit at the front. They'd kind of bring up issues, and I'd repeat them back to them, make sure it was clear, and then put them up the management chain. And since then, I've been involved in PPOP, you know, with harm reduction, safer use supply distro, and with Portland Street Medicine, medical rounds and outreach.
So what do you do currently in your roles?
Currently, I am a peer resource navigator here at Portland Street Medicine. And I also do outreach with Portland People's Outreach Project. Mm-hmm. With Portland People's Outreach Project, it's really just distro. So we are setting up a few times a week. I mostly do Friday evenings, setting up a table at certain places downtown. And we give out safer use supplies, medical supplies, snacks, whatever we have to give out, and kind of hang out. It's a community hangout. It's not a charitable thing. It's not charity. It's a mutual aid program. So we're all hanging out together. And with Portland Street Medicine, I am coordinating with patients in the community to help them access resources and doing more distro there too. Also, last summer, with Portland People's Outreach Project, we had a program. It was a grant-funded program that let us do these harm reduction and overdose reversal trainings. So throughout the summer and fall, we did these sort of big presentations, a big hour-long presentation with slides and the whole thing, talking about harm reduction principles and stigma and sort of the history of harm reduction, and also overdose reversal trainings, which are super fun because we'd have like oranges, and we'd have people use syringes and, you know, demonstrate how to use IM naloxone on people. So just showing them tips and tricks. Naloxone, Narcan is the brand name, is the overdose reversal drug. A lot of people know it as it. There's a nasal spray and an intramuscular injection kind. So if someone's having an overdose, this is administered, and it sort of rips all the opioids off the receptors so that someone can start breathing again. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and this is usually paired with rescue breaths. So rescue breaths are to get them breathing again, and then naloxone is to pull off the opioids from the receptors quicker. It's such a life-saving drug, and you find people on the streets, a lot of people have used this to save other people's lives, and it's really remarkable how much change just naloxone distribution has made in the community.
Portland Street Medicine,
yeah,
does outreach. You guys like go out to communities and,
yeah,
like take care of people's wounds and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you do that on like a camp to camp basis, or like phone calls, referrals, all of it?
Yeah, we have a referral line. It's like a message box. We will take referrals from people in the community, from whether camping or not, on they're non-urgent, non-emergent care, because we are a small team. So we'll get someone out there. We'll find, you know, you could say, I am in a green tent under the third tree from the corner or something, and we will send a team out there, you know, to knock on their door and see if they'd like a visit. We also do have time to just kind of walk around doing general street style outreach, asking if anyone needs anything. And a lot of times, you know, building that community trust is really important to us. It's like the most important work we do with PPOP or otherwise, is having that community trust, you know, believing people with what they say, meeting them, respecting their autonomy. They will allow us in to give them any sort of services they want or help them with referrals. Like, a lot of people don't want to be forced into housing or don't want to be forced into, you know, behavioral health treatment. But when they form a bond with you and you have that community trust, they will take my advice as a peer, which is where I'm coming from, which is why I think I'm good at this sort of work, is because I just have a lot of knowledge gleaned from 15 years of listening to what people say, asking them, well, how did that go when you went to that doctor's office? And now I know maybe that's a good place to recommend other people or it's a bad place. But the building the community trust is the most important. And I feel like we are harping on a lot, but this is a lot of, it's really about the community solidarity.
Yeah, you work for Portland Street Medicine.
Yes.
But then in your spare time, you volunteer with PPOP.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and Portland Street Medicine does have a partnership with Portland People's Outreach Project, too. So the first and third Fridays, this is Friday evening outreach, we have our team, which includes volunteer medical providers and me, sort of setting up a table nearby and able to do wound care or prescribe antibiotics.
I also just, like, I think it's worth sort of, like, noting that you do this work for your job.
Yes.
And then also, like,
on my
own, volunteering to do that. And so I'm curious about, like, what your personal reason is for that specifically.
I mean, I hesitate to even think of it as volunteering. I just view myself as like a member of the community. I like the people I'm around. And I kind of view it, you know, if I have the ability to move resources from one place to the next, something I'll do. Even little stuff like I'm looking for a pair of shoes this size and then go take it to someone. Just little stuff that if I'm able to and I do have, you know, a vehicle I can use and time I can use to do this stuff, I like being in community. So I view it not as, oh, I'm volunteering, but more as just I'm part of this community.
So will you define what harm reduction is in your view?
It's like something I so like innately know, but it's also hard to describe. Harm reduction is just, it's a theory that we know certain activities are going to happen, like drug use, and we do what we can to mitigate the harm caused by them. We don't have a judgment about drug use. We don't try to stop it. We just acknowledge that it exists and work to keep our community safe. And it can, harm reduction can be applied to a lot of things. Like, I ride a motorcycle. How do I, you know, that's a dangerous activity. What do I do to reduce harm? I always wear my gear. I always wear a helmet. And sort of the same thing, you know, we acknowledge that injection drug use has a lot of risks, but what can we do to help reduce the likelihood of harm? You know, we can pass out fresh supplies. We can teach people how to take care of themselves and each other, things like that. For me, reducing stigma just starts with talking about something as if it's talking about anything else. You know, I'm talking about drug use and I'm not promoting it and I'm not putting it down. I'm just talking about it. It exists. It's something we do. It's like we're going off the driving analogy. We use drugs and it's not really the defining characteristic of the whole person. I think it's worth, when explaining it to the public, sort of explaining how stigma actually contributes to all these negative things. So like when you're stigmatizing someone for using drugs, you're actually deepening their isolation, which can worsen their life, you know, their lives. It can maybe lead them to behaviors that they're less happy about personally. it can start a cycle of self-shame, and nothing good comes from shame. You know, no good decisions are motivated by shame. And it makes a barrier to treatment. So when people feel stigmatized for, you know, their mental health conditions, if they're a person who uses drugs, they are less likely to access treatment because they're worried about that judgment. So I think in addressing it with the public, I would talk about how this stigma actually damages the community and the people trying to overcome whatever personal issues they have.
On June 25th of this year, Multnomah County passed an ordinance which restricts syringe service programs. These are programs that provide safe and clean needles and syringes and offer a place to dispose of old ones. These programs can no longer operate within 1,000 feet of any schools in Multnomah County. Portland People's Outreach Project does outreach and also provides SSPs in Multnomah County. I spoke with Erica about how she expects their work to be affected by this new ordinance.
I think this ordinance affects, you know, harm reduction work because it makes it harder to reach people. The best method for reaching people is to go where they are. And a lot of these people live in these areas that may be within these zones, and they have lived there for decades. And the best way to provide this evidence-based public health approach is to meet people where they are. Some people can't go 3 blocks down the street to reach services.
How do you expect this ordinance to affect the people that you serve or like are in community with?
I mean, it just further stigmatizes people. It makes it harder for us to do the work we need to do, which is reaching people where they are. And, you know, there are other SSPs, safe syringe providers, in the community, but a lot of them are, you know, have very different hours than PPOP, which we're at night. And, yeah, the stigmatization of these people, because a lot of this ordinance doesn't seem to come from real concern about drug users, because it's an evidence-based approach to not only protecting the health of drug users, but the health of the community. It seems to come more from a disdain for even seeing drug use and a misguided attempt to control people's drug use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to my understanding, like because of the specificity of the ordinance, and it's not really concerning like medical stuff necessarily.
No.
So it doesn't really affect Portland Street Medicine, right?
No, but it affects our patients. So it might not affect the way certain, you know, organizations or nonprofits are operating, but it's affecting the people we serve, mm-hmm. which then affects us. It can make it harder for us to follow up with someone if we can't find them, if they've gone further underground out of this stigma or being pushed by these communities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these communities, my interaction with them, it seems like they're not coming from a place of genuine concern, because if they were, they would listen to the research about this. They would listen to what people's actual experiences were.
So how would Portland Street Medicine like see their clients be affected by this?
You know, safer use supplies are really important. For injection drug use, obviously, we don't want people using the same syringes, same needles over and over, because it can spread disease. We don't want people sharing syringes because it can spread more HIV and more Hep C and other sort of things throughout the community. And then that's something then we have to chase with public health measures. There are other wounds that come just from being unhoused, a lot of lower leg wounds from people having to be on their feet all day or just not having the proper hygiene, you know, resources at their disposal. And I'd say that is some of the most common sort of wounds we see are just the result of being unhoused and not being able to access things that a lot of us take for granted, like running water or somewhere to put your feet up at night or a trust in your surroundings to be able to relax. These safe syringe things, it's like a micro issue that kind of it reverberates into a macro thing, because sure, there are other places to get syringes, but these little chips away at, you know, the morale of the community or the further alienation of the people within the community, it does real damage. And it turns public sentiment in a way that seems to be, it seems like a bad faith approach to the whole issue.
I mean, it seems like this is, like, potentially setting a different precedent for Portland than, like, what a lot of folks have been working really hard to, like, work towards.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And stuff like this, attitudes like this with the public can lead to reduced funding for a lot of these county health programs or a lot of county housing programs. And that's already happened. There's been a drastic cut in funding for a lot of these programs because of this public sentiment that's kind of growing against people who use drugs or people who live on the street. And reducing funding, obviously, is not helping us get people into stability. And a lot of it is guided by discrimination just on its face. A lot of it is racially motivated. A lot of it is motivated by hatred for trans people. Because what you see when you're doing this outreach work is that a lot of marginalized communities are way overrepresented in the people we serve. So what we're seeing a lot when we're doing outreach are people that fit into marginalized identities, people of color, and a lot of disabled people. And it is really shameful that we can't take care of our most vulnerable. I don't even think it's a matter of, I like drug users or I want to help this specific person. I think a healthy society doesn't let people die and struggle on the street. Just as a whole, you want to live in a community that isn't okay with seeing people suffering on the street. And it doesn't really matter how you think about these specific people or what you think they should be doing. But if you want a healthy community, you have to take the measures that we know work to stop that suffering.
What are a few things that you wish that, like, the, like, Portland community knew about the unhoused community and, like, the work that you do specifically regarding, like, harm reduction?
I think one point, you know, to be clear, these harm reduction services, these harm reduction, like, mutual aid projects, they're building community in a way that really shortens the distance between people and resources overall. And so those sharing of resources are what's going to lead to, you know, more stability, more positive outcomes for everyone in the community. And actually it's more expensive to sort of chase these, you know, diseases, wounds, diagnosis, than it would be to unilaterally provide safer supplies to everyone. You know, you hear stories from people and you'll see people on the street. And I think there's this attitude that's like, all this would have to happen for me to even consider, you know, panhandling or camping downtown. You know, I'd have to this, that, and the other have this happen. And the people you talk to have had those things happen. So you go, I have to have all of my family die and my house burn down and to, you know, run out of money. And you meet people who all of these things have happened to.
Actually, worst case scenario is happening for a lot of
people. Yeah, I mean, like, oh, that'd be everything in my life would have to blow up for me to end up there. And this happens to people. And it's, you know, it's a sickness of our society that we don't care for people and we don't have a big enough social safety net. We don't have enough community to give that, you know, have that community resilience in general.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's easy to become unhoused because we just don't care for each other.
I feel like we need to address the fear that people feel around people that are, like, really struggling.
I think a lot of people are afraid. I mean, their need to control unhoused people or people who use drugs is coming from fear. And I don't know if it's a fear that maybe you have more in common with them than you think. or it's a fear that by association, you know, you'll be, you'll lose things that are important to you or something. I think with a lot of the city ordinance, you know, oh, within 1,000 feet of a school zone, is a fear that their children will be influenced somehow by this drug use. And I really dislike that. One, because children are smart. They live in these neighborhoods. They see this. The best, you know, the best thing to do is to educate kids with compassion on harm reduction and on community resilience.
So I want to talk a little bit about, like, the city's housing approach.
Sure. A lot of the times you get on, we have these people on these wait lists who call, and the day there's a bed, they have to get there before 6 p.m., you know, and most people don't want to stay in what's called like an aggregate congregate shelter, which is a bunch of beds in a room, you know, that it feels like we are, you know, we are trying to control, we're infantilizing people, putting them in these shelters where it's just a bunch of beds in a room. People deserve privacy and dignity. I think a housing plan that worked would include a lot more tiny homes, a lot more rental assistance to keep people from falling into, you know, what is a very hard place to get out of, which is being unhoused.
You've been listening to an interview with Erica, who works with Portland Street Medicine and also volunteers with Portland People's Outreach Project. There's a lot more to know about these organizations, and you can check out more about both of them online at their websites.
Portland People's Outreach Project has orientation. You have to go through an orientation process to become a volunteer. Just a vibe check, really. And you could find out the dates for that from their Instagram, which probably just look up Portland People's Outreach Project. Portland Street Medicine has a website. You could look up Portland Street Medicine on Google. And if you'd like to support our work, there's a donation button there. We also take referrals. Our referral message line is 503-501-1231.
For the comments on X-Ray FM, I'm Hannah Francis.